football on Off the Ball.
Listen, I'm, you know, hopeful as anyone. You know, we're all working as hard as we can to, you know, go out and train and do really well. And, you know, whatever team the manager picks, you know, we all row in behind that. Whether we're playing or not playing, we need to be ready.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50mg film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150mg tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Keith Tracy's going to join us in studio at 8:45. Power rankings at 9:15 from Tommy.
Yeah, you know, someone says to me recently, like, we're going 2.5 hours these days, generally speaking, from 7:30 to 10.
Yeah.
And someone was, a colleague of ours, was, I couldn't believe it, that we're basically live for about 2:20 up to 2:30. It's pretty relentless, right?
It's more than that.
We do
yeah,
about 2 or 3
have
ads.
Ads. Less.
Yeah, I think that's being generous. Like, yeah. 2 or 3 minutes ads, probably total.
And your tiny little bladder.
A minute.
I'd say a minute and a half.
And then the odd video here and there that we play?
Yeah, go on.
So this is unusual now.
What colleague? You have to name names for this stuff now, otherwise they're not.
I can't name anyone, right? Because as you would say yourself, even though you'd break it yourself.
For Matthew, he wasn't getting a shout out.
Have the right to reply.
From, was it Phil the other night? Or Phil wasn't getting a shout out. Who was it? What was that?
It was Steve-O.
I'm always happy to give a shout out.
Oh yeah, this is.
I'm happy to.
Sorry, this is somebody telling you you're amazing for being able to hold your.
You see, again, you've absolutely jumped to conclusions there. I'm just telling you something. And all you have to do in that instance is just react to be like, yeah, I suppose we do actually, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
You know? Anyway, I'm very excited.
That's a great.
I'm feeling it now. Because yeah. You know what? I was talking to Phil Egan, colleague, earlier, and he just threw it in very casually. It was like, you know, we were talking about the match, watching back Highlights of the Hungary game, just to get me back into it again. Mm-hmm. And he was like, yeah, tomorrow night now. And I was like, Jesus, yeah. It's tomorrow night. You going?
Yeah.
Oi, oi.
Yeah. How'd that happen? Can you explain?
Just did.
Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sometimes good things happen to good people, you know?
Yeah. You put out good energy and get things back from the world.
Hey. Last minute opportunity. Like, yes.
Oh, that's class. That's class.
It's class. You're delighted, I can tell.
No, I genuinely am.
I genuinely am, yeah. As he looks down at the palm of his hand going...
Well, I'm jealous, obviously.
Lifeline.
Jealous, but...
life, marriage and happiness. Death to my colleagues.
The different lines in your hands, the palm readings, yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, I'm happy for you, yeah. Yeah. It's hard for me to sound sincere with these things.
All the ticket price bollocks was all bollocks. There was a couple of pairs. Obviously, somebody watching yesterday bought the 550 tickets because there's 680 tickets this morning.
How much do you pay?
None of your business. None of your business.
come here to me. Did you convert to Euro? From Euro to Czech?
Other than that, was very important. I was like,
make sure you do that.
Oh, yeah. Just
make sure you all do that if you're out there.
But and everybody is going, does not know this. I'm sure maybe everybody does know which of the countries do use the Euro, which you kind of take for granted. It's very imperial of us to be like, oh, of course they'll take the Euro, but they don't, you say.
No.
Just been there.
No. Mm. Yeah.
Weeks ago.
Yeah, if you have the Revolut, it's dead simple. You just you sell some Euro to
have the Revolut, like the internet and the Ukraine stuff from the past that
a lot of people don't have Revolut.
No, they don't.
I was on a stag recently. Not everyone paying Revolut.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's
but if you have it, very simple. Just make sure it's on the Czech currency and not Euro, because you'll get stung that way, because when you go tap it, tap it, tap it.
What is it? Is it crayons, is it?
I want to say, without looking, because you don't have to Google everything. I think it's Karuna?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. With a K? But I didn't see the physical cash once. When I was there.
Right.
Because everybody tapped
away.
Great.
Did you get your flight sorted and all that? You're all good to go?
Got you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Direct, is it?
Look.
rich get rich. Poor old Matthew here. We may never see him again.
Is he there?
Hopefully he'll be on with us this morning.
I think he's actually on the line right there. There he is.
We didn't even know it.
Well, are we?
How is T1?
You can at least pretend that the microphone is relevant there. It's like it's a good prop, you know.
No,
we know it's not.
Yeah,
we know it's your dodgy earphones that are picking up all the background noise from the airport.
Yeah, and I tried to find somewhere at least somewhat quiet, but you know, trying to find somewhere with good light and then decent background wasn't. Simple, but that's what I'm saying. Well, an awful lot of green.
As Roy Keane would say, and there's always a Roy Keane quote for every instance, fail to prepare, prepare to fail.
Yeah, sure. I think I had quite a lot to be preparing for, considering the journey I'm going on. So I don't think finding the perfect spot here was like a hop in the list. But I think I've been okay.
We actually just can't hear you, is the problem.
Oh, right.
That's what I mean.
Oh, what? The music in the background is that loud?
No, it's really just the microphone on your earphones isn't really good enough. Tell us about the scenes you're seeing. What can you see? What type of greens? 40 shades?
Yeah, many different shades of green. But right now I'm looking out over all the airplanes and sort of parking up, getting ready to go. But an awful lot of retro Ireland gear, some new Ireland gear too. And a variety of different age groups as well, which is very refreshing to see. A lot of people with their kids, a lot of people with their grandparents, and all that sort of stuff too. So there's definitely a lot of excitement around the place, and it's packed in here. And it's the same, even the bus I got on this morning at a little after 5 o'clock, there was still a couple of people on that, kind of heading towards the airport for New Ireland gear on. And I imagine as the day progresses, it's going to be the same. I think could be wrong, but there's a flight directly to Prague, I think a little after 10 o'clock, and there's two just before that. Obviously, some of Aer Lingus and some of Ryanair, and people like myself are going the long way around.
Remind us again of the schedule. So, Newcastle within the next hour, is it?
Yeah, I think it started boarding there a couple of minutes ago. So, Newcastle, I'm stuck here for the day. No, 8:15, that flight's out, and then that flight's out, and then Wrocław, then from Newcastle to Wrocław. Not the most amount of time in between. So, hopefully, there'll be no delays on praying then from Wrocław that even this evening. So Matt's come around this quick at 5:15 local time to get in Prague, so 9:15.
Very good. Are your travelling companions in the vicinity there?
No, they're not with me at the moment, actually. They went to have an early morning pint, so I decided to take them at it.
Well, actually, that's what Dermot Keating wants to know. Where's your airport pint? Airport pints overrated, I would say.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually would agree. I think this talk about it being the greatest flight of all time is severely overblown. I think you have one and then you get on the plane and you're just wanting another one.
You need a piss. On the plane.
Yeah,
never.
Too, yeah, exactly.
Has anybody ever had a good piss on a plane?
Yeah.
No, but I've needed a good piss on a plane. Well, you know what I mean?
But it's always like...
Well, you get on the plane and it's a long time before it even starts moving. And then you're hoping there's no turbulence. And then they take off the seatbelt sign. You could be
slowly
sitting there.
Blood,
you could be there an hour.
Rising.
You'd be there an hour.
Deep vein thrombosis.
Are you in?
I need a pint for that.
Are you currently in the for the visual audience there this morning? Are you currently in the bar, but you're by the balcony looking out? Is that where you are now?
Yeah, exactly. I'm in one of the bars anyway. Down towards the gate. I'm right down the back of the airport. It's gate 111, which is 111 and 114 on this.
Good gate.
Right, it's right at the end. Yes, I'm in the bar there, the corner of the bar there. Down towards there.
You know, the whole point of this segment, we want to go along with Matthew on the journey, right?
Yes.
So Matthew's going to document this. So we're going to see you throughout, because you started last time. It's actually on the Off the Ball story. So you'll see Matthew's part one of his trip here. This, I suppose, is part two live. But the reason we wanted this was like, will there be a sense? Is there a sense in Terminal 1 Dublin Airport this morning that there is a huge match happening?
Oh, without a doubt. As soon as you walk in, the security was actually very empty when I came in this morning. It was pretty easy to get through. But as soon as I did get through, everyone I saw, and obviously, with the green tinted glasses on, I was looking out for it, but very much evident that there's something going on. Sure, as far as the game is concerned, it doesn't feel like a normal day. In the airport. Now, obviously, the staff would have a better rate of that than I would, but no, to answer your question, absolutely. Absolutely, there's something big about
the last one for me. What's your level of excitement / fear?
As far as the game goes, to be honest, my fear at the moment is it's coming from hoping this flight takes off on time. I did just get a notification from Ryanair to say that there's an urgent boarding update in the flight to Newcastle, which I haven't had a chance to look at yet, so... hopefully that's nothing serious, but that's where my fear is coming from. As far as the game goes, this is as excited as I've been to watch it. To be honest, obviously we had the Euros and all that sort of stuff back in sure there's plenty of fans, but a different stage in my life, to be honest. Just at the age I'm at now, this is the first time it's properly felt real. And I think my excitement level bit through the roof. I think that's only going to increase when I actually get the step foot in Prague tonight and let it properly set in.
Did you buy a ticket?
No, I didn't buy a ticket. I heard you saying there that someone snapped up to 500 quid and they're now going up to 600. But I hear the lad saying that you're heading over, are you?
Yeah.
Are you heading today?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Okay, so that's good. It's obviously direct, right, isn't
it? Yeah.
You know? Okay, I won't ask any more details, but that's going to be... Yeah, that'll be fun. But did I get a ticket? No, I didn't. I didn't snap up that 500 quid. Someone else got there before me when we were talking about it on the papers yesterday morning. But yeah. Yeah, if anyone's on the ground in Prague and, happens to not need their tickets, I think you should.
Get Matthew to the game is what we're saying.
Yeah. What's the backup plan if the Newcastle flight, if you don't make the Newcastle flight? Is there a backup plan?
No, I had a quick look to see if there was any direct flights to Prague from Newcastle or any other flights to Wrocław from Newcastle. That's my immediate backup plan, and there are not. So you just have to wait and see. I suppose if I get there, it doesn't work out. Then
get to Frankfurt.
I just find somewhere, some way to get to mainland Europe, and we can figure out from there. You know? I'm not overly concerned about it. I think regardless of what happens, once everything, had a stronger captain, I'll be in Prague one way or another tomorrow, and that's the only thing we're looking for.
All right, keep us up to date. Instagram.com/offtheball for all of the things. Just follow us. That's the easiest way.
All right.
We should have maybe sent him with a better pair of headphones. So we can actually, little plug-in ones. You can actually hear the mic.
Listen, it was a debut for the boy in that capacity. And it's just about, you know what you want? You want a sense.
Yeah.
A sense of something happening. No, of course, there's actually no definitive proof he was at the airport there.
No. Good.
Well, there you go. I mean, if it made you feel something, yeah. You just want a bit of green in the airport, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Where were you all when we were going to Helsinki for the game against Finland? And it's not really. That Irish trip to Helsinki, that was a dedicated...
Well, I saw someone comment online saying all those present for the Armenia 2-1 game in Armenia should have got first refusal for these tickets.
But I'd say they probably did all... managed to,
said person is going to be watching it in Wexford,
right? So, was he in Armenia?
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He's complaining about the dark days, which were only the other day, really, in the grand scheme of things. You know what I mean?
Like,
no,
half an hour ago. Before the crushing doom that comes after the new dark age. Yeah, it may. I think so. I think football fever has taken over the country in a way that you didn't feel was going to be possible again.
I don't think we know what to do with ourselves.
It was Chewy making the point that, like, after 2016, it felt like our opportunities were limited and we were getting further away with each passing time. And, there have been dark days. Luxembourg, Armenia. You know, so here where we stand with an opportunity, a live opportunity, significant underdogs, nonetheless.
You know, it feels like we skipped a few steps there in that doubleheader against Portugal and Hungary, in the road back to redemption and having good times for Irish football. Because we were in the doldrums for so long, we got used to that. And it just felt like it was almost a cheat code those couple of days. And here we are now. So we're kind of unprepared for it. There's also this weird thing where there's no sport happening this week. So we're constantly, there's no live sport. There's plenty to talk about.
Yeah.
There's obviously a certain Liverpool fella there we haven't got onto yet. You know, there is news all the time.
Yeah.
But in terms of live sport, we're just building up to this. And we also haven't played in ages. That Hungary game, it's a long time ago. You know what I mean? So I think there's a mixture of the fear of the unknown. And also, I think people are finding it's very difficult to call. And rightly so.
Well, we're deluding ourselves that it's 50-50. They are strong favourites. You know, the bookmakers' prices are making the home team strong favourites to win the game. We are big outsiders in a two-team match. You know, according to the bookmakers, the game would need to be played four times for us to win one, which is like, in World Cup playoff terms, 16 years.
Yeah.
Like, that's once every 16 years you'll win this game, lads. And then you've got to beat Denmark. So, There's a bit of mass delusion going on about our chances, and that's fine. That's like, that's the whole point. The whole point of feeling alive.
Yeah,
that's why we play the games. It's big news from us yesterday. It's been in the works for a long time, so maybe we didn't make a big enough song and dance of it. But for the next 3 years, you're going to be able to hear every single Republic of Ireland men's and women's senior international game live on Off the Ball on News Talk. We announced that deal in this very studio yesterday with the FAI. So you can, yeah, it really is. Yeah. So Steve-O and Stewie in Praha.
Praha, yeah.
In Czechia, yeah. I was saying I had the soft CH. I realised that was wrong. That's, you were just there.
I was,
excuse
yeah.
me, so how do you pronounce your name, sir?
A lot of people don't go around saying the name of their own country a lot, so it was very difficult to get a sense of it, you know what I mean?
Oh, we can't agree on the name of our country.
I got, exactly. I got a heads up about this a few years ago unofficially. A buddy of mine in Australia lived with a guy from the country, and he said, like, stop saying Czech Republic. It'd be like you saying the Republic of Ireland.
Yeah, which, you know.
So that's where we got here at the end. But they've changed it on the map, you know, this is official. If you were to go on and say, Flight Radar, for instance, that you've been in today, it would say Czechia on the world map.
And they'd pronounce it that way.
Teams have been named.
You've got to learn these things.
Our teams have been predicted, I should say. This is a very kind of a shame, really, that that rugby hasn't affected football in this way, in that we would have the team news now in the world of rugby.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whereas we got to wait an hour before kickoff here. And I would love the team. But a lot of people have took to predicting their lineup. Now, I'd say most people are agreed on about 8 of the starting 11, generally speaking. Yourselves in the comments, everybody you talk to, journalists alike. But do you want me to read out a few?
Of these 11, right? Do you only have one? There's only one, is there?
I have a couple on the same page here from the Irish Times.
Give us the end of there. Let's see if there's anything.
Give us the end of there. Gavin Comiskey is up first here. So he's on the ground over there. Loads of people on the ground. Stephen Dyde's on the ground for us. And I think this evening show tonight is going to be live on the ground. Correct?
Yes.
So Gavin Comiskey has Kenneran Gall, O'Brien, Collins, O'Shea. Now, I haven't heard anyone who's deferred from those three. Wing backs, he has Coleman and Manning. Some people want Robbie Brady. I believe our guest later on, Keith Tracy, wants Robbie Brady. And did James McLean say, did he lean towards? All will be revealed very shortly. Jason Malumbi and Jason Knight, the two Jasons, different spelling, same sentiment. Gavin Comiskey has centre mid, and then he has Ogbeni and Azaz behind Parrott, right? Your old buddy Ken Early has the same back five and goalkeeper, but he has Brown and Taylor, right? And wait for this, Azaz, Parrott and Vale.
Vic
goes
Vale
straight in to Ken Early's starting 11 here. It's a 5-2-2-1.
Two number 10s in the style of Unai Emery. Come on!
Two 10s. It's an interesting one, says Dara, and I don't think you're wrong there. Kevin Kilbane is trending at the moment, of course, our buddy.
So what happened was, Kilbane came on and, you know, in the style of Mark Antony and Julius Caesar. No, I come to Barry. Except it was, I come to praise Lemar Senior, not to bury him, and then he buried him. And then, of course, it got blabbed up and aggregated by the aggregators, not us, Jim Hamilton. It got aggregated by the aggregators and went viral. And of course, somebody, not Liam, of course, or his press people, because they don't go looking for negative stuff. One of his well-meaning pals showed it to him. You know, sometimes it's a family member who shows you stuff like that. And Liam was upset about it, by all accounts.
Yeah, so, I guess so.
I think he may even have reached out.
Well, yeah, I was talking to our buddy last night about it, you know?
In the LinkedIn parlance, he bubbled it back up and he circled back, looking for a little FaceTime on it.
He's dead.
He's dead man walking, isn't he?
Oh, I hope not, says you. Because what I told you. Excuse me.
Oh, because your bet. You bet it. Well, that was...
Well, it's no risk for you.
You get it, Matt. You get it. You know what I mean? I'm only paying...
A tenner.
And he's paying... So you got 10 to times. 1. Yeah.
You got 10 to 1 and then being the manager next year.
Next...
still wouldn't.
Whatever it was. Yeah, whatever date that bet was made in March. Yeah. You never know, but it's not that long in the grand scheme of life. Could happen.
A grand scheme of Kevin manager Coulban life, though, it is.
Has Kelleher, O'Brien, Collins. O'Shea Manning Coleman. Now, he has Knight and Malumbi. Yeah. And then he has like Benny Parrott, Zaz.
I think that's my team. I think I have Ogbeni in there.
Mm.
Not too sure where, though. I think you have maybe Zaz in behind the two lads up top, put Ogbeni kind of a right forward part, maybe slightly ahead of him.
Uh-huh.
And then, yeah, Malumbi and Knight. As kind of a two, but Finazaz is kind of part of a three there at the same time. You know what I mean?
I think sometimes you're only one good injury or one good crisis away from discovering stuff about your team. Finazaz played his best football for Ireland in that withdrawn role. I know game state, the most recent jargon word to enter the lexicon of football, it was very important in that. But actually, he played really well there, so go for it. That's it. Now, in you go.
Yeah.
Take it on.
Don't put him left wing again. Don't
whoever's
put him
beside
out
him
right.
is beside him, and everything's going to go through him, and there's going to be some... He's going to give the ball away four times, and the fifth time, Troy Parrott's going to get a chance.
Yeah.
I'd take that.
Yeah, it was a Phil there this morning was saying, don't go texting about Finazaz halfway through the game this time, because I know a lot of people were against Hungary. He didn't have his best game, but then as the game went on, obviously he was absolutely crucial to what we did. Yeah, I think I'm Manning left wing back as well.
Instead of Robbie Brady?
Yeah, I think so. Like, Manning was playing great football for us, and he's been playing very well for Southampton. I know he's been out of the team a bit as of late, but Robbie Brady's played such little football.
I was wondering, could Robbie Brady play six? That's my other thing.
You love putting lads who don't play six.
Well, he's played in midfield for Ireland in his 10 years ago, the 2016 Euros.
He's never played six, though, has he?
Three. No, but it's like, smart man, knows what he's doing, very experienced. Remember yesterday, Stewie was saying, so there's going to be a lot of runners and a lot of buzz, 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 buzz. Someone needs to stand there and go, I'm going to get the ball, I'm going to give it, I'm going to get the ball, I'm going to give it.
Distributor.
We're going to have a few minutes here where we just calm the F down.
I don't know, it's the biggest game I've had in the past years. And then Brady has to also figure out his new position all of a sudden. Personal football. It doesn't mean you can do anything.
I mean, they understand the game.
If they're playing like the elite side, they can do what they want.
But Man United is a 14-year-old.
I take your point on one side of the ball, but then when they have the ball, I wouldn't trust them as
Malachy Clerkin has Sammy Smaddox in his starting 11. He has Sammy around. They actually have the 5-3-2 with Smaddox in midfield, but I'm getting it'll be further advanced than that with Malumbi and Knight and Azaz and Parrott, so Azaz might drop deeper there. James McLean doesn't want Sammy Smaddox playing. You won't hear from that. But a lot of people don't want him playing, but some people do. And like Roy Larmer, he commented yesterday, it was like people are sleeping on Smaddox. Smaddox could start. Stuart Byrne says, yeah, I could see it happening.
I can see it happening. You know what I mean? Don't think it's a good idea.
Yeah,
he has not performed for Ireland. But obviously they think that the culture thing is not as big a deal as Matthew, for example, thought for a long time now. There is a sense out there that he is less committed to the cause.
But like, why are we putting him in there?
They obviously don't feel that. Hamer obviously feels he can get something out of him.
Yeah, I don't see any evidence of that. And like Benny, I know he was out for a long time there, and he's only back playing with the under-21s. But like,
he got minutes off the bench last weekend.
Yeah, like he always performs for Ireland. He always has. Like, there's been a lot of games there, even the darkest of days over the last few years, where he's been one of the shining lights in a lot of those performances. So I think I trust him to come in, not with the freshest legs, but to come in and do a job for us. And his job is just to run all day, and I think he'll be able to do that for us.
And what's the comparison with Smaddox there?
The comparison between them?
Yeah,
I think Ogbeni adds more pace to the team, doesn't he?
Oh, sorry, you're saying pick Ogbeni, do not pick Smaddox.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I don't mind Smaddox for a second.
I don't mind Smaddox on the bench, but definitely not starting.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? If Smaddox comes off the bench and we're 1-0 down and you're like,
needed
to get on the end or something, and actually it's you or this guy who we don't know what he can do at international football because we've never seen him play.
Yeah.
That's why I think. But if he starts him and he looks like somebody who's kind of easy-ozy on whether or not we're going through.
Yeah, because if it doesn't go right, then it looks like an awful decision.
Yeah, it's a massive stick to beat them with.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I had a dream last night. We were 2-0 up at half time.
I had to read that a couple of times because it doesn't actually say if we were up or down.
Yeah, an own goal and Parrott scored. I woke before the end, so I don't know how it ends. Jamie Dormican.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant. So that would worry me, 2-0 up at half time.
I would take it now, I have to say.
You would take it, but it's such a dangerous lead in football. Oh,
especially in Ireland.
Yeah. I don't know what would put me at ease at half time, to be honest. I would actually, I feel, weirdly enough, I'd probably feel more comfortable with 0-0 at half time. Because I know what type of second half team we could be. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I want. It's a weird one.
I'll tell you about now. Mr. Umbaget says the Czechs won't attack us like everyone is thinking. If you listen to the Czech side of things, this new manager is very defensive and pragmatic and will be targeting set pieces. Now, I threw this into the Prague WhatsApp group that is alive and well from our trip from a few weeks ago. I don't know if you saw this yesterday. I'm reading the Irish Examiner's version of events, so this is carried all over the shop. Czechia football thrown into turmoil by match-fixing probe. Dozens of arrests have reportedly been made during dawn raids. And now, this is exciting. So there's a bit of a turmoil there. Thomas Suchek?
Yeah.
Dropped?
Well, we're
according
here.
To...
Is this mind games, though? Like, is this
match-fixing mind games?
Rory Beggins coming back from America. He's not going to play, though, and then he starts on the day.
You know, this is it. It's not the most harmonious Czech football has ever been. It's not the most talented. Could we get them in a bit of a down moment?
Yeah, totally.
Could they turn on each other? The fans turned on the players last year.
Ben Simons point out, Kalchopoulos is rolling around in the background and Italy going to win the World Cup.
It can happen. Wouldn't rule it out completely. Gordon Manning has Azaz, Agbeni and Parrott. That is kind of a trend with Malumbi and Brown playing. A lot of people have...
Malumbi and Brown.
Yeah.
Brown's training the team.
Brown is in the team. A lot of people... Well, Brown is also...
I don't mind that, but...
A couple of other teams.
Stewie wasn't... He wasn't having that.
Well, he's too versatile for that position. Then I was listening to Damien Delaney saying that Brown is a great type of midfielder for Ireland. So there's plenty of different opinions. That's what I mean about, I think there's about eight of this team is generally agreed upon. There's some crucial positions up for debate. Let us know your starting 11 there on YouTube. We'll read them out because I'm interested in everyone's opinion on this. I think everyone has a little slightly different version of it.
I feel it's weird though, I was talking to Matthew about this, that the midfield, I don't think I've felt as secure in it in a long time. Like midfield was always an issue over the last couple of years. I don't know. And like we're missing Cullen, so it doesn't really make sense. But we actually have a few options there.
Yeah. I think you might be again the mass psychic delusion. This is gonna be fine. Fire is burning. I think Josh Cullen totally underrated for Ireland. Like it turns out. Ever looks amazing and then all of a sudden now he's gone. And the point is always made in their absence everybody looks great. Eber Echeze, by the way, out for a month. I did not know that yesterday when I was like, it's all gonna be fine. I thought he was just out for a game, out for a month.
That's what they thought.
Not playing that much football for the next 2 weeks.
Eber Echeze?
Yeah, from Arsenal's perspective.
All right. I don't have it in Ireland.
Bill Belichick was doing press yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't believe everybody missed the opportunity, as is correctly pointed out in our comments here.
Brady or Manning, Bill, who would you pick?
College game, bringing Belichick back to Dublin.
You missed my joke.
I heard you. University of North Carolina's Tar Heels. Like,
what do you need to do when I'm making Texas jokes? You need to do this for me, right? That'll be good.
And then it's like, okay.
No, I heard you. I heard you. Oh, I heard you.
Do you know who they are, Brady and Manning?
Oof.
Robbie Brady and Ryan Manning.
Manning Brady in the debate. Brady Manning was watched years before his pity ring in Denver. Von Miller won that for them, which is obviously, you know. But it would have been a great question for Belichick, wouldn't it, yesterday?
Yeah.
Obviously, he would have said Brady.
You gone off the Irish side of it?
No, that was all. That was the Irish side.
There was a continuation, just in a different kind of.
Yeah, I get that. There's levels within levels. I was going to come in tomorrow to do the start of the show and then leave, but now I might not. I just be like, fuck this.
Oh, don't. Whoa. Come on, Joe Bradley. Relax 8 o'clock. There, Joe.
15 seconds.
You're on to pay tribute to someone. Relax. Jesus. I thought we'd given up cursing for Lent.
You?
I've been very well behaved.
Since you dropped the C-bomb.
Since I came back. Well, that was a quote.
No.
That was a quote. I was playing a character.
No.
I was playing a character.
No. There was an egregious one.
Sometimes, it hurts to explain it to you. Sometimes you have to get into the character of another person, you know, another individual. And that's fine. I'll tell you about it. Now, the character of Mo Salah, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Silence.
Go on.
Ensues. The character of Mo, is he, and I really don't mean this in a leading way, I really don't mean, is he one of the great footballers of our time?
Of his generation?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Undoubtedly?
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah. Now, I would think that's fair enough, right? But it's funny enough, when I have this conversation with people, and not just because of this news yesterday that Liverpool and Mo Salah Power Company this summer, a lot of people say, I'm not really sure about Salah.
As that level, like,
yeah.
So who are you talking about? Who's
I suppose
generation?
You're talking about. All right. So in modern football,
Messi Ronaldo.
You have the two boys up there, and no one's going to touch them. And I guess is Salah on the rung below.
So you've Neymar, Suarez,
whatever you like there.
Bale,
all the greats.
Hazard. Yeah, I think he's.
Is Salah with that list?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it just a case of like people the last couple of seasons he hasn't been amazing? Like last season, even he was still pretty good.
Sorry,
it's just been this season.
What
you're like? What the?
Yeah,
I think you're telling me.
I think that if there was anybody who was of a Liverpool persuasion here, it was that he was part of the team that ended one of the longest famines at one of the biggest clubs in the world.
Yeah,
and he wasn't a B character. He was the A character alongside some other, you know, A minus characters. But then he continued that, and then they also won a Champions League.
Yes,
and like. He is centrally involved in all of that, and it was top scorer four Premier League seasons, which is was it even more? Like, there's nothing that Mo Salah didn't do. He should have won a Ballon d'Or during that period. I think, in some ways, the fact that you're asking this question would suggest that he's somehow underrated because, like, what the hell?
Yeah, possible. Yeah, like, Liverpool's third highest scorer ever.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. I think he's the most goal contributions in total as well.
Oh, I imagine so. A very productive flair player is Salah in terms of his numbers. Great numbers to go with the flair. Now, I said it was a leading question, right? And you might think I'm suggesting that he's overrated. I put him in my all-time Premier League 11 that I did at the end of last year. I put him in there. And a load of people disagreed with that call. Because, you know why, right around that time...
Because his form wasn't amazing, yeah.
The form wasn't exactly, and the Leeds United battle had just happened.
Yeah.
So I think that colours people's minds. I think there's a lot of short-termism and fickleness when it comes to things like this, is that, like, if I had picked Salah when he was going through one of his incredible purple patches, I don't think many people would argue. But at the time, Salah wasn't playing too well. I put him in my all-time Premier League 11. People weren't having it.
You're sticking with it, though.
I think a Salah on form was pretty much untouchable.
Unplayable, yeah.
We were watching his best moments this morning, separately and then together, which is what he would do for you. You know, he'd bring it together. Yeah. And like his collection of goals and highlights, he can be very proud of them in retirement because he didn't just score a load of goals.
Yeah.
He scored great goals along the way.
Depressing as a United fan, watching some of those highlights.
Yeah, and also he's managed to do a lot of his great work against the big teams. Great goals against Man City, Arsenal when he ran half the pitch, Chelsea when he curls it into the top corner. He did an awful lot of damage to Old Trafford over the years. Salah on form, untouchable. Yeah. The other side of Salah was, again, I put him into the all-time 11, was, Jesus, he'd be fierce, wasteful in possession when he was bad. Like, bordering on a liability in the team when he was bad.
Yeah.
When he'd get like shouldered off the ball.
Even within games where he would score, he could be bad.
Yeah, but
That's a trade-off, isn't it? Yeah.
His technique would end up, he kind of a curiously average technique at times when he was shooting. But then when he was on form, he would just go the complete opposite way where it's like, he's below all those players at his worst, then he surpasses everybody on the pitch. And that is a generational type of footballer. You don't really get that very often. We were talking about it in a much more minor way of Finazaz's performance against Hungary, which was steeped in flaws throughout the match and half a dozen killer passes. Well, Salah did that, but over many years and much bigger platforms and against tougher opposition.
And that's why he's on the pitch as well. That's his output. That's what he was there for. And like, even last season, where maybe in overall wasn't his best season, there was a time there for a few months where he was on a Ballon d'Or trajectory.
Yeah,
like there was no doubt that he was the front runner. Had Liverpool had a deeper run into the Champions League, had they had won it, probably would have been Ballon d'Or winner.
Do you think he's a worthy Ballon d'Or winner over the years?
Yeah.
He's absolutely accumulated, I think, enough.
Some of the people who've won it. Some of those at the end, Ronaldo, Messi ones were just like heritage. It's like going to see the Rolling Stones at 80.
Did you have an issue with Luka Modric winning Ballon d'Or?
What year was that?
That was 2018. I think when Croatia got to the World Cup final, which is very freak. It's funny. That finished 4-2, and it's not really talked about, that final.
And Mbappe, that was like, he was like 19 in that final.
I don't know.
What?
Was it a World Cup tournament as opposed to a World Cup Ballon d'Or as opposed to what they just given the?
They had Real Madrid had just won the Champions League.
Yeah, I didn't feel too aggrieved by that. I think it was the Benzema one. Was that deserved that year? That was a bit of a weird one.
Dean has done his top 10 Premier League players.
Yeah.
Thierry Henry 1, Giggs 2, Shearer 3, Cantona 4, De Bruyne 5, Rooney 6, Ronaldo 7, Salah 8, Roy Keane 9, Frank Lampard 10. No Harry Kane in that list.
Yeah.
Okay, no Gerrard.
No Gerrard.
Wow, yeah.
None of your skulls is.
Look, all these lists, like there's never been a perfect 11 chosen ever. No. There's never been a perfect 10, but like Giggs at number 2, I would like massively disagree with that. But that's what I mean, these lists, right? But anyway, whatever about it, Salah's in the conversation and will probably be even more appreciated in the next couple of years when he's gone from the club and gone from the league, presuming he'll leave the league.
Yeah.
It's really interesting where he goes now. I was asked about it this morning. My instinct reaction was he'll go to Saudi. Like, I didn't even think about it. He'll go to Saudi. Maybe not. Look, he's walking away from the last year of his contract, remember? He signed a new contract. So he's actually with the club until 2027 on paper.
They're letting him go for free, which is really interesting. Like, it's one of those rare situations where everybody's like, that should have been a one-year deal. Maybe it was a one-year deal. Who knows? Maybe there was he's activating a clause.
Yeah.
And maybe there's a certain number of, you know, those clauses, those contracts, we never actually get to see what's written on them. And all the American football ones, and bearing in mind American sports is where Fenway come from, all have these acceleration things or deceleration things. Or if you don't do this, year two becomes void. We add a second year to...
Exactly.
So who knows if they're actually giving up on something that, it's like a gift. Maybe it was in his gift, maybe it was in their gift.
On paper, he's walking away from an outrageous salary.
Oh, did you see?
1 year of it, like, he's walking away.
Reported 500k a week.
Yeah, something like that, you know?
But he'll get more.
The headline is very kind of like, not heartwarming, but it's like, oh my God, that's a big step. And then you read the text of the article and you're like, well, it's not really that big of a deal. I always think with these legendary players at a club, it was like, oh, their next club after that will be like a huge step down in a league that's not as competitive. It doesn't always happen. Like, Raul left Real Madrid and he went to Schalke. You know, it doesn't actually always happen that they go off into the, go off on holidays, so to speak.
Qatar.
Yeah, and like, sure, Messi, you know, felt he had to leave Barcelona, he goes to Paris Saint-Germain. So it doesn't mean that Salah's going to leave Europe. There's the absolute possibility that Salah signs for a top five league.
AC Milan or something.
But he'll have to drop his wages.
We had Henry Winter on when the Leeds thing happened, and I was saying, just hear me out here. He's an Adidas athlete. He's Egyptian. 8% owner of Adidas, also Egyptian. The owner of Villa. Tell you. You just watch this.
Would he not do a clap and promise not to represent another Premier League site?
He should. Yeah. He should. Yeah. Doing something like that would definitely be like, what? You did what? But, you know, just for the shits and giggles, for the thought experiment, for the fever dream.
Yeah. Oh, where do people think he's going to go?
Yeah. It's worth noting the impact he's had as well with Egyptian football, African football, and even in Liverpool. He's an absolute icon. Mm-hmm. There's a reason his murals around the place and the impact he's left on lots of kids. Remember the songs coming out about him over the years? I saw in the papers there this morning that Raheem Sterling's his daughter used to sing the Salah song to Raheem Sterling when he was at Man City and was in the midst of this great rivalry between the two teams.
Yeah, that's a good point, man.
Can never be understood.
Dion Fanning wrote a great piece a few years ago about how Salah brought his son into football
and got him back
and I definitely he crosses the divide as well of certainly people in my life who aren't interested in football very much know Mo Salah.
Kieran Cunningham had an extract from Sally Rooney, a piece in The Guardian, talking about how watching Mo Salah, she wasn't that into football was the premise of the piece, but actually watching Mo Salah and watching anybody who's brilliant at something makes you feel like you're staring at the stars, yeah, reminding you you're comfortably small. It was just a, obviously I butchered the piece of writing there. You can check his socials for it, but that resonated with a lot of people.
Let's Liverpool fans, let us know, like, are you going to miss him? Well, of course going to miss him, but do you want him to go? Is this the right time?
There's also the point that it is also the right time.
Well, you know, I thought it was inevitable after the Leeds outburst. It was just a matter of when. Just because he didn't go in January, it was like, this doesn't mean it's the end. I called it at the start of this season. I thought he was going to go in January, and that was before the Leeds thing. I was like, I think he might go now, because he was starting to leave him out a bit. I think they've actually dealt with this quite well. I don't know what you think, Arnie Slot and the club.
Well, they've recovered from it. It hasn't been handled well. You'd say Slot is struggling, right?
Well, Slot's struggling this season. I actually thought he was fine with the whole Salah thing. I thought he kind of played it down. It could have been hysterical. I think what helped him big time wasn't it after that Leeds game? Wasn't there one more game and then Salah went off to the AFCON?
Yeah.
I think that's
when
right.
They put him back in the team.
Because he came on against Brighton, I think.
They sorted out their differences.
And people were questioning, was he was waving goodbye to the fans. Then he heads off for a few weeks, comes back, lock calmed down, and he was back into the team. And then it was more of a collectively Liverpool aren't great.
Can they drop him now? To drop him now.
Well, it's obviously
a farewell tour now, really, isn't it?
So yeah. But he also was like, oh, I'm going to bring you off the bench today so you can have your warming up. And everybody's like, oh, and they'll sing your songs, but we're going to make sure that the game is well in hand, or we need you, as opposed to...
Well, see,
from a footballing perspective, it is easier to drop him now because it doesn't matter if he falls out with you.
No.
Think that they'll pay him the respect he's earned over the years. How long has he been there? He signed in 2017, I think it was.
Yeah.
And he's been so consistent throughout. He's definitely going to have a big part to play in what they do. Because like, Liverpool have a lot to play for this season. So like, yes. It's not like this is a throwaway campaign. Like, it's not like it's been a complete disaster where they're out of everything. It's like Liverpool still actually have a lot going on. They have the Champions League, they have the FA Cup, and they want to get into the Champions League. So he's going to be needed. I don't think there's going to be that much of a tribute act after the first game he plays now after the international break. He'll get a huge ovation at Anfield.
Yeah.
And then I think right at the end of the season he'll come back again. But I'd say it'll be business as usual in the interim. I'd say he'll play his fair share.
All right. Off the Ball Breakfast is live with Viagra Connect.
Might mention Jack Carty.
Oh yeah.
Similar
Jesus,
farewell
yeah,
tour.
Yeah. Yeah.
A very similar story to Salah, I suppose, in terms of an absolute club legend. Retiring at the end of the season. But as you say, plenty of rugby still to play. But yeah. He's a legend around the Connacht parts. He's been there with them his whole career. Carnaldo, as he's known amongst the players. Kind of like you would have expected it at some point soon. I suppose he hasn't been a regular starter for them over the last couple of seasons, but it's one of those when you see the news like Salah, you're like, oh, okay. Kind of thought that would never happen, but yeah, great player. Like obviously he had a good few casts for Ireland as well, was at that World Cup, thrown in the deep end that year and didn't get too many caps after that. Always thought he was a little bit hard done by around that time.
Yeah.
Like he was a good player.
Yeah.
A little bit of a scapegoat at the time, but yeah, it's a very solid career. Obviously the Pro 12 of Connacht in 2016 was a big highlight for him. Very solid career with his home province.
All right.
Off the Ball Breakfast with Viagra Connect 50 milligram film coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.